In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, standing in the evil day. That's a philosophical construct that many, even in the church, don't really recognize. And maybe they don't actually even believe that the days that we're actually in are evil. And let alone maybe not that, but that as the scriptures clearly teach us and has been apostolic tradition that has been brought down from the apostolic times, clearly that the teaching of the scriptures and the church fathers and their teachings have always pointed to a particular time just before the coming of the Son of God, that the apostasy in the church, apostasy means a falling away, a going backwards from the very principles of the truths of the Word of God. Namely, even in our creed that we confess here, in the understanding of what is wrapped in these icons that we have here that teach spiritual truths that come right out of Scripture. Sometimes we see the symbols, but again, we don't really know what they mean. And in particularly, we don't not only know what they mean, but the heart isn't really engaged in faith. There becomes the real problem. There becomes a sense of death. Because without that new life of the Spirit, holding true to the gospel principles, and especially the tenets of our faith that we confess, it is not a good thing. Paul begins our Ephesian text today, which is, for the most part, the central text that we will be discussing. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He begins that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Our Old Testament text that we read here talks about how the people of God had been given a great blessing by God, been called out to be a people of his own name, had given them salvation and given them eternal promises. But he warned them. He said, keep these words and these commandments and do not in any way ever add to my word or subtract from it. But by walking according to the will of God and my word, you will become in the eyes of the people wisdom and understanding. That's the promise that God has given to us, his people. The psalmist David in Psalm 119, one of my favorite psalms, talks about hiding God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him. And answers that critical question, how can a young man make his ways straight? We'd really ask that question today, right? What can make the paths of our children straight? In all the confusion that's coming down in our society, the overthrow of most of our social order, by the way, that had been based on very much biblical principles in our law systems and throughout our culture. What can make a young man's path straight? The psalmist in 119, not that particular passage, longest psalm in the scriptures, by the way, says, by taking heed according to your word. That was the warning, of course, that God gave to the Israelites. Take heed. Don't subtract. Don't add to. But just take my word into your heart. Abide in them. Make them the principles of your life. Walk in them. And God says, and you will live. Paul says that any kind of battle that we might go into in these last days, because these are perilous days. He says, in the power of his might. Not human physical strength, intellectual or emotional strength is going to do it. Nothing human can stand against the wild schemes of the devil. Because this is a supernatural warfare. As Christians, it is a supernatural warfare that we are to live by the power of God in us, the Holy Spirit and the Word. No, the devil's schemes that we are to fight against is implemented through spiritual forces of evil. Paul makes it clear in our text, those that are in the flesh are not our enemies. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's why in our day, it's very important to understand the biblical principle of our day. We live in a day with the over-politicalization of our nation. No matter what topic you talk about today, it becomes political. Creation, the world, the environment becomes political. Human sexuality becomes political. All of it becomes politically centered. Now even medicine has become political. But we don't fight against flesh and blood. And as Christians, the scriptures are clear. Speak evil of no man. If your heart is being led astray to speak evil of President Trump or President Biden or President Obama or the leaders of our congressional body or any of those, then you are being taken up into a realm in the fact that is not of the Christian worldview. You are being taken captive by the evil one. Christians, our kingdom is not of this world of Christ. He gave us of His Spirit and His Word to separate us from the things of the world that would divide us. We are united here simply by this principle. As Paul would say, I chose to know nothing amongst you except Christ and Him crucified, and to walk in His ways. But the battle is primarily against, Paul tells us, the forces of evil, rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over this present darkness, in this present dark age. Strength is found in His might, because only His instruments can fight against the spiritual forces of wickedness. The first order of the soldier who Paul looked after, the Praetorian Guard that guarded him while he was in Caesar's palace awaiting court, was that beautifully dressed Praetorian Guard. In particular, he had the sword, which we'll learn is the Word of God, on his side. But the first instrument that that Praetorian put on in the morning was a belt. It kept his garment in place, so the garment itself couldn't be used against him. It kept the other pieces of his armament in place as well. So Paul says in the 14th verse of our text today, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth. If we don't get this right, all the other parts of this are absolutely useless. We need to have on the belt of truth, and we have to, as the people of God, discern between good and evil. What is truth? And not be like the patron saint of unbelief, Pontius Pilate. That one that stood before Christ and said, what is truth? Our Deuteronomy text says, no, you shall not add to the word I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I have commanded you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the people. What is our wisdom as the people of God as we're going out to reconcile this world to Christ, because we know the world is heading for judgment? It's abiding in the commands and the Word of God. We believe them, we know them. It affects our whole worldview and how we live our life. You see, down through time, there has been these wiles of the devil and these attacks, these fiery darts that we will learn about also. How do they come against the Christian? Especially in our day. If we don't understand the social destruction that's going on, first of all, what created a society that we had not even 50 years ago, But what is being done now to dismantle that social order, those social norms between what is good and evil, right and wrong, light and darkness? One of the great authors, in fact, Nobel Prize winner in literature, George Bernard Shaw, don't line up with him on just about anything in his worldview. But what he said about this is absolutely true. He says, "Beware of false knowledge. It is more dangerous than ignorance." Beware of false knowledge. It is more dangerous than ignorance. It's surprising that he would have that construct so central to his life, because Shaw himself was a Marxist and a socialist, and he was part of the Fabian Society. He believed in overturning democratic societies. That's what the Fabians were all about. Of course, we don't want violent revolt, but we just want to tear down the social norms that underpin and instill a new power and a new authority that will just eventually just morph into this new democratic socialism. Shaw had most often wrote in his stuff, he promoted this worldview. And his literature affected as it went into movies and different plays and just throughout the culture over time led a foundation. It led a path and direction for America and Europe. But he was only one of the players. In our time, Saul Alinsky, the radical from Chicago that set up what we would know today as most of this community organizing, is nothing but Marxism in disguise. Saul Alinsky wrote the book Rules for Radicals. And in the opening credits for the book, he wrote amongst the credits that he gave, he said also to Lucifer, the first radical who won for himself a kingdom. If that doesn't put chills down your spine, I don't know what is. But Saul Alinsky went on to have great effect on the social politics and the social gospel that many of the churches have fallen in today, especially great inroads into the Roman Catholic Church. The author Joseph Pontian wrote this about the work of Saul Alinsky and the particular socialism that he used to affect our higher education. I mean, his doctrine went everywhere. The book Rules for Radicals, you can download it free and archive.org in different places and read it for yourself, what it's all about. But he said, we're shocked to learn about Frankfurt socialism called the Institute for Social Research in the USA. To change and to bring down America by criticizing it, developing political correctness, the sexual revolution, and gender conflict and confusion. Gromadsky socialism's targeting specifically the Catholic Church and the transformation of America's Judeo-Christian culture from the inside through law, media, entertainment, and family life, and limit, now listen to this, and limit religion only to private worship. Fabian socialism to slowly break down the morals of the family in a stealthy, nearly imperceptible way. Truly, this philosophy that is attacking our culture is pernicious. It's evil to the core. It's not the only one, but boy, is it having its effect and rising to ascendancy today. So we need to know the belt of truth. We need to understand, what do we do about it? It's one thing to identify it. It's another thing to be able to address it. God is clear that we are this stronghold of philosophy that is attacking the authority of Scripture. We are to tear those strongholds down. But if we can't discern and understand the forces that are at play in our culture, we're helpless. We're just bystanders, spectators watching the building and the society crumble. Oh, we've all got our opinions and our attitudes and things. Doesn't do much good. Unless, of course, you got the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit that Paul talks about here too. But again, it's because we, the church, depart from the Word of the living God and from the knowledge. This is what's going on in the church today. He says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness, of course, it's not our righteousness. We're standing in the righteousness that Christ has won for us. That's why we can be strong. We can't stand before these forces and enter into these debates on these issues by believing we're there and we're credible because of our own righteousness or our own abilities. No. We put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation, knowing who we are as the people of God, that we truly have salvation, the knowledge we have salvation. We've been called out by God to be a special people. The knowledge of salvation, or even the assurance of salvation, is one of the most important points that plague church members today. Do you really know that you're saved? Do you really believe it? When you knock on heaven's gate and there's Peter and God comes and asks you the very question, why should I let you in? Would you have an answer? Of course, in part of our world today, we understand that the Scriptures deal with that exactly. The world will say, well, you can't really know that you're saved. You can't really have assurance of that. But what does the Scripture say? 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. That this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. It is our assurance. And there's many more. But as we go out, this knowledge of salvation, the knowledge that the judgment is coming, the knowledge that our society and Christ the King that ruled over our society in many ways, only through those who believe and stand in that truth. But this great falling away that is taking place not only in the United States, but globally, is a departure from the living God. We need to be prepared to enter into that battle, to give an answer to all of those who are wondering what the hope that is within us is all about. And because we stand in this faith, we believe this faith, Paul says that one of the parts of this armor is a properly shod feet. It is prepared to go out and preach the gospel, to warn the people, repent, turn from your sin, come to Christ, because the judgment's coming. Are your feet prepared? Are you gospel proclaimers? Do you have a knowledge that those sitting right next to you might not understand? Those you work with or other family, friends, co-workers? Is the gospel message urgent to you to communicate it to them that they might find life? Paul says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish those fiery darts of the evil one. Those fiery darts that attack the kingship of Christ and His Word and His church is exactly those fiery darts are those false philosophies of the world. The faith that we cling, the faith that we confess, by standing in those truths, we can take those darts. He says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, put on the helmet of salvation, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how sharp is your sword? Is it sharp in precision like a scalpel? To exercise the cancer of unbelief that is leading people to eternal destruction? I hope it is. I hope that even today that you might get an understanding of how important it is that you have that ability and walk in it. But most importantly about the church and the armor that the church walks in for today, Paul says in the 18th verse, praying at all times in the Spirit. Are you always praying? Not that you just show up for a prayer meeting. Are you always praying? That's apostolic teaching. Praying at all times, not sometime, all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. And he says, to that end, we need to be praying. The Christian that's walking through, I know for myself, I can only give account for myself about this praying. Paul says it elsewhere, pray without ceasing. What does that look like? As I'm walking through from my pastoral discernment, not only from the perspective of the world, I see what's coming down on our society, I'm always praying, oh God, raise up voices that'll expel and turn back this darkness and this evil that's coming upon us. Oh God, open the hearts of your people that they'll begin to walk in the light and in this faith, even as our liturgical order says. If we say that we know God, but our lifestyles are darkness, we're deceiving ourselves. That's why it's important that all these symbols, if they're not engaged with the right faith and understanding from God's word, they are a stumbling block to you. Keep it alert with all perseverance, Paul says. And then he concludes, and I'll conclude for this. He says, pray for your pastors. Pray for those spiritual leaders over you. Paul says, and also pray for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. How should a pastor ought to speak? Boldly and with courage. Because there's many forces, even in the church today, that want to silence the truth in our midst. So brothers and sisters, I know you do already. But would you kick it up a pitch in praying for your pastor? The warfare is great. But again, I would reflect you back to that great hymn which I put in, included in the evangel this month from Luther. Our enemy is great, but one little word will fell him, because God has raised up a champion on our side. And who is it? It's Christ Jesus. It is he. Lord Sabaoth is his name. From age to age the same. And he will win the battle. Amen.